I doubt it, but it will. It'll probably be the same thing next year. Hope not. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 while I'm hooking up to this microphone here.
Make sure that green light's on.
Thank you, sir. It was off. All right, got it. Got it? Second Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 14. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men spake of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for so many blessings. We thank you, Lord, that we have your word in our hands. We thank you, Lord, that you saved our souls and changed our life and put us on a new road. You gave us wonderful promises to live. And we ask you just to bless this meeting. Watch over us. Lord, help us to do your will. Help us, Lord, to be blessed. And if there's anyone here that does not know Christ, Lord, move with your Holy Spirit upon them and touch them. I pray that you'd encourage every believer here. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Peter's death. You know, Peter, James, and John are always listed first. When they list the 12 apostles, it's Peter, James, and John. They're always up there. Now, at this time, James had been killed. James had been arrested by, I guess, Herod. And Herod killed him. And he made friends with the Jews by doing it. They were happy that you stopped one of these major sons of thunder, preacher of the gospel, and that it made sort of a political benefit to him. So he arrested Peter and put him in prison. Now then, I don't know that the church really got together and prayed whenever James was arrested, but when they saw that James was killed, when Peter got caught, Peter's sister had a prayer meeting in her house. And so they began to pray for Peter. And then by a miracle, God Almighty took Peter out of that prison. And I think there were about 16 Roman guards that died because of it. 4 quaternarians of soldiers. And you know, a wonderful thing here, here's Peter. Peter one time asked the Lord. He said, "What's John going to do?" He said, "Well, that's none of your business. Yeah, that's not your business. What if I let him remain until I come? What is that to you? None of your business." But at any rate, Peter says here in this verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. He said the Lord had showed him that he was going to die. Now, tradition tells us, and of course that's some a little bit of history and some other things. But anyway, tradition tells us that Peter died, crucified upside down, in about 64 A.D. Now, John didn't die, not at that time. And the reason why he was supposedly crucified upside down was supposedly because he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like the Lord Jesus. And so he requested to be crucified upside down. Now, that's tradition. But Peter did die, and he died under the reign of Nero. Could have been a Nero that sentenced him. I'm not sure about that. But Peter is making a message here. Now, have you thought very much about the books that are in your house? You don't know how privileged you are. At this time, you couldn't get books cheap. If you had a book, you were a rich man. If you had a bunch of books, you were really rich, because they were all hand-copied. That was a profession at this time. And to think about the Word of God and the messages they got from Peter and Paul and John and whatever, people would write things down. And remember, in people that cannot read and write, generally they have a very good memory, because they can't make a note. If I didn't have my notes, I sure wouldn't make it. I've got, and I sometimes miss not reading my notes. But at any rate, Peter says, okay, I'm getting ready to die. Shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, and the Lord's told this to me. Now he said, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we were eyewitnesses. We recently had a trial, famous trial, of a policeman that was convicted completely on all counts. Do you know what was the most important thing about that? Eyewitnesses. He's supposed to have a couple of eyewitnesses. Man, he had it on, I don't know how many tapes, how many cameras that were doing all these things. And they showed them over and over and over again when they got in there. Man, how do you dispute something like that? Well, that's what we have in the 12 apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, eyewitnesses. That's why Jesus had him together with him for 3 years. 3 years, he sent them out and brought them in. He fellowshipped them. He taught them. And they were there when he was preaching. You got to remember, Jesus is not a pastor, never was a pastor. He was not a local rabbi. He was an evangelist. And an evangelist travels and may tell the same story over and over and over again. I was a professional evangelist for several years. And I tell you what, I preached sometimes the same message at another place. I had one family. They caught me preaching the same message at about 4 places that they went. And they said, well, I didn't know them because they were just following me around, you know. And I was preaching the same message coming along. He was an evangelist. He was not building up a synagogue. He was not building some other thing. He was trying to get the gospel out as far as he could get it. Billy Graham is a great evangelist, maybe one of the greatest, although Jonah would throw him a loop. But Billy Graham, as far as our times, he was not worried about a lot of things that a pastor worries about, because he was an evangelist. He did not want to get into controversies about certain things. He was not controlled by the liberals, because that upsets them when they can't control you. He was not controlled by the fundamentalists either. He was his own man, just a country preacher, but wow, did God do something with him. You know something? God Almighty is in the business of preaching the gospel. They've got a world here. Brando was talking about the message that he had there, and for the message getting out, and how do you make it clear and clean? Well, you know, Jesus was the same way. He preached the Word of God, and people heard it, and people's hearts were touched, and people got saved and became followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, now he had Peter here. And he had James and John and the rest of the 12 apostles. Now, what happens in, as we look back in history, we find that these guys never recanted. Peter never did change his mind. John never did change his mind. Here's what he's saying here. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We saw him. We know him. We claim him as God. We saw him rise from the dead. And that was the sign that he was going to be the Messiah to the Jewish people. And so it was like a light in a dark place. And he says there in verse 17, a voice from the excellent glory, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. They claimed that was what they heard. We heard God speak from heaven when Jesus Christ was there on the mount and we were there within the mount and we're eyewitnesses. We saw it, we heard it, and we're telling it to you. So he said, the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. He's still got power. And he's still coming. This voice we heard from heaven, like a light shining in a dark place. We have some controversies in Christianity. We're not equally divided. We are not equally We don't all agree on certain things. Some people think, as Brando was pointing out, an awful lot of people think that all roads lead to Rome and all roads lead to heaven. But that's not what the Bible says. And I want you to understand what you need to do is find out what it says, not what you think it says, not what somebody else thinks it says. You have an amazing thing. Here's the whole Bible. Kind of fairly decent print, not too bad. Easy to carry with you. Now, I've got it printed out right here on paper with a computer, and it's got a big print and some other things like that. What a treasure that is. That's a treasure. Do you realize before 1500, books were not easy to come by? Now then, we got books everywhere. You got people that'll give you a Bible. In fact, we've given away a lot of Bibles from this church right here. And I personally have given away a whole lot of Bibles. I bought extra Bibles. I put them in I used to travel with them and I would give them away. Somebody didn't have one, didn't have a New Testament. What are we trying to do? We're trying to give you the message of these eyewitnesses. Now, if you can't take the message of the eyewitnesses of the Bible, you're going to be in trouble. Because you won't be able to believe. But if you go and read what these fellows said, praise the Lord, it's convincing. I had a friend named Gaylord Chisholm. I got out of the Air Force in 1959. I was active duty 55 to 59. I went to Howard Payne College. 2 years, got my 4-year degree. I came back here in 61 with my two boys, Bernie and I and the two boys. I got a job teaching school, and I was teaching English in one of the toughest schools in the inner city of San Antonio, Page Middle School. I had a girl in there, it was 16 years old, by the name of Kay Chisholm. And she went home and told her dad, who was a preacher also, witness. In fact, he ran the Christian Servicemen Center down here in the middle of San Antonio, just about a block or two from the main post office, the old main post office. She went home and told her dad, said, Dad, I think my English teacher is a Christian. And I think he just might be a preacher. He said, well, find out. So she come up and asked me, she said, Mr. Kincaid, are you a Christian? Yes, I am. Because I had a big Bible sitting on my desk right up there. Big, I think I gave that red Bible to you. Big red print Bible, but man, on my desk, always open. In fact, I went down to the library in that school and got 10 or 12 Bibles and just put them in the bookshelf on my room. If the kid got ready with the work and was fast enough, he could go over and pick up anything they wanted to read and whatever in my book. She asked me, said, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes." And she said, "Are you a pastor?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "Where do you preach?" Well, I gave her the address. Well, I ended up the next Sunday or so, and here's this tall man and his wife and Kay and her brother. And they came and visited. We became great friends. We really did. Now, he was an interesting thing. I was a King James man. He was not. He did not want to have distinction between the different versions. It went against his work that he's doing. As I said, Billy Graham was an evangelist. Anybody could come in. Come on in. Come on in. He's not preaching church doctrine. He's not trying to separate them one another. He's trying to get them here and tell them how to get saved. Well, Gaylord Chisholm, I had all the versions because most of my college classes, one professor would say you have to have this, and the other one says you have to have this. Different versions all around. But when I carried that version with me, I also had my King James Bible with me too, see? So that was my preference. Brother Chisholm had almost every version you could find. You'd be amazed at how you can't mess up John 3:16. Yeah, and some of the other scriptural verses. If you're retranslating, you better not mess with something that's known by everybody. And so he could take their particular Bible that they had a preference for and lead them to Jesus Christ. And that was his purpose. Now, back in those days, Billy and Eddie were small, and we would go downtown and preach with a PA system on the back of my pickup, blasting from front of the Alamo. Can't do it anymore. After I got back from Guatemala, they changed the law. But we could go down there, and Brother Chisholm would get some of the servicemen. Now, his serviceman center was like a Christian USO. And you could go in there and play ping pong or play pool or get some books to read or fellowship with somebody or just rest or whatever. And he would come and with several of his people over, and Eddie and Billy and Verlene and Linda were around, but he'd take those soldiers and they would pass out tracts and witness and down there. So he was a witness. He didn't want all the controversies and the problems that differed with the different versions. And so he was a dear friend of mine, and he witnessed many, many times. Finally, he passed away, and very, very wonderful testimony. You have this Bible, and you ignore it. You have this book, and by the way, you might want to get a bigger Bible than that one, because you want something that's comfortable to hold. You want something that's big enough to read. You want something that doesn't tire your eyes, and you want to know the truth. Amen. You want the eyewitness testimony of the guys that were with Jesus for 3 years. Now, if you've got that eyewitness testimony, why don't you believe it? I believe it. I'm just pretty sure we got the truth. Now, something else about that. You take your Bible. You learn your Bible. Now, if you can take a look at this, is an old preaching Bible of mine. Got all sorts of red markings and stuff in it. I mark my Bible. I write on it. I've got notes and all sorts of things, and sometimes it takes me a year to make a new Bible ready for me to leave with it, because I turn page by page from the old to the new, and put the markings that I want. You know what? That's a beautiful blessing. That is an opportunity. Memorize some of the verses. Memorize the ones that give you peace. Memorize the ones that promise you answers to prayer. Memorize the Word of God that you can tell somebody about Jesus Christ. As you can give him 3 or 4 verses of Scripture, you don't just load him down, but you give him something that he can call on Jesus and get saved. Very, very simple. Now, you know what? That's given to you like no other people in the world before 1500. What they had to do was make copies themselves of Peter's letter and pass them from church to church. Now, he said right here, I know that I'm going to die. I'm going to put off this tabernacle. He's talking about his body here. And he said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Now, there are a lot of them out there. I'm amazed. I have 2 phones. I have a home phone and I have a cell phone. And these crazy people can call me on both of them at any time of the day or night. I have a 2008 car parked right out here. The guarantee on that thing went out a long time ago. Do you ever get these calls? We notice that your guarantee, your warranty has expired. Do people answer that? They must, or they wouldn't keep doing it. They've got some scams out there that some poor old person, and I'm a poor old person, would believe them. I don't know what to do. I had one call me about my television. Said, you have this thing with this television. I said, yeah, well, we're going to cut your prices to half. I said, well, that sounds great. Well, if you want that, punch one. So I punched one. They said, what is your Social Security number? I said, I'm not going to give it to you. He said, well, what is your driver's license number? I said, I'm not giving you that either. Somebody must give it to them, and then they go off and rob them or something. I'm amazed. I guess they can't stop it any more than they can stop. I tried to get some of the trash mail coming to me, not delivered. They said, oh, yeah, yeah, you can do that. Go down and talk to the head of this over here. I went down to the post office and got the head. He said, we can't do that. We can't do that. You just got to take it and put it in the dump. That's the life we live right here. Now, thinking about a Bible that you have in your hands, you have no cause for ignorance except for laziness. You have a wonderfully translated Scripture. Isn't it amazing that all the modern translations compare themselves to the King James? Isn't that amazing? They're still doing it. How many translations are out there? I had 45 or 50. And when I started out preaching, when I got out of college, I would read it in the King James, and I would read it in 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 others, the chapter that I was going to teach. And then, you know, I just kept going back to the King James. And as far as I'm concerned, that's my preference. I believe that I have right here the Word of God. I believe you can have it in English. I believe you can have it in Spanish. I believe that you can and have it in Greek. I believe you can have it with... Listen, don't let anybody take this Bible, any Bible that's yours, that you believe, and you follow, out of your hands. Don't let anybody preach to you and tell you they have come to this great new idea or whatever. We're all, I tell you, we all think we're so smart. You know why I know you think you're smarter than anybody that gives you advice? You never follow the advice. Isn't that right? If you really thought they were smarter than you, or as smart as you, you might listen to them. I bet some of you are so independent, self-interested, having your own mind that you walked out of a hospital without getting checked out. Isn't that amazing? The doctor has had his 12 years of education, and yet you don't believe him. I get doctors upset at me all the time because I don't believe them. I got a book here I believe. And you know what? I do think that's one of the reasons why I have a peace and comfort in my heart and a positive outlook on life, because I got the promises of this book in my heart. Now, you have it. If you don't use it, what a waste. Peter said, I was an eyewitness of God's majesty. I was on the mountain when God spoke from heaven. You believe in God? You believe He can speak? Well, the Bible tells us so. That's what it says in here. He spoke to Abraham. He spoke out of the mountain. He spoke when Jesus was baptized. And some of these people heard it, and we've got their message right there. And that message can turn you into a believer. And by the way, what do we call ourselves? Believers, right? What does it mean? It means I believe what this book says. Now, there's a whole lot that I believe, but I don't even understand. Getting back into a lot of Jewish prophecy and about some of the things, oh man, that just bogs me down sometimes. And then getting back there and you got all these names, this chapter, you got names, whatever. It's important to some people. It was important to the Jewish people, not important to me. And sometimes these things, well, yeah, okay, you got an answer? Let me tell you what, I've given away 3 libraries, I really have. I was raised without television till I was 16. And by 16, puberty had hit, and it was girls, cars, and football. That was about all I was interested in. But you know, an amazing thing. This book right here tells a story. And it says that there's a way that I can go to heaven. There is a way I can get my sins forgiven. And it tells me that Jesus Christ paid my debt. Amen. And that when He saves me, He gives me eternal life. Amen. Why would you let anybody take that out of your hand? Don't let anybody. I don't care how smart the preacher is. He's not that smart. I don't care about the idea. If Jim Jones had come in, if I'd have been in that room when he walked in and sat down in the chair that he had up in the front of his congregation and said, I am God, you'd have saved your life if you'd have got up and walked out. Those that believed he was God and followed him down, they drank the Kool-Aid. You going to drink the Kool-Aid? Some of you are, I think. No. I have eyewitnesses. I have a message from God that tells me that my sins can be forgiven, my soul can be saved, I can go to heaven and be in the presence of Jesus Christ forever. That's worth believing. It's worth telling other people about. Now, Brando, sure they're not going to believe you. They're going to think everybody's way is right. Can you look at television news every day and tell me everybody's way is right? You're crazy. You'll be out of your mind. You got people out there shooting people for no reason at all. You got people that think they're great Americans, and yet they want to rise up and overthrow the government. You're in a system, you know, 2 weeks ago I had a brain fog right up here, and it wasn't anything funny about it, and I apologize for it, but I was doing the best I could, and The word came to me, brain fog. Now, my thinking about it, it goes back to Richard Nixon. I was alive in those days. Richard Nixon and the Watergate. And we had a president that was acting like a thug. That's a shame. He was a good president in a lot of ways. That just some other things there. You know something? God Almighty has given you an opportunity. More so than most generations that have ever lived. The gospel is going out over television, over radio, and in printed form, and been dropped from airplanes in remote villages and whatever all over the world, trying to carry the message, your sins can be forgiven, your soul can be saved, your life can go with you all the way to glory. He said, and this voice we heard, and it's like a light shining in a dark place. Now look at 1 John 1. That which is from the beginning, which we've heard, which we have seen with our eyes. This is the Apostle John. Remember James and John were brothers? And they were friends. This is maybe the closest friend on the earth that Jesus had at the time. He said, we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now he's got that's a tremendous testimony. That's a tremendous statement. Look at verse 2. For the life. Think of Jesus as the life? Yeah. If you don't get the life from him, you don't get it from anywhere. For the life was manifested. You understand what a manifest is? You got one of those containers out there and it's all locked up and all closed in and you've got all your stuff in there. You give you a manifest that tells you everything in there. The manifest declares what's on the inside. Well, what we have here is that the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness. That's what we're doing. That's what you've got in this Bible. You've got witnesses bearing witness, testimony to what they've seen and heard and felt. We've seen it and bear witness and shown to you that eternal life which was with the Father was manifested unto us. They looked at Jesus and said, that's eternal life. And it is. Verse 3, we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. You know, if you just looked at your condition being a saved person, God forgiving your sins, you don't deserve it. Not a single one deserves it. If you were left up to the law, every one of you would go to hell. Without exception. You say, I'm a good person. No, you're not. You're a sinner. You're weak. How'd your last diet go? You want to see your weakness? Yeah, how'd your last diet go? Cindy Schreiner, Kincaid, weighed about 105. When she got to 110, she went on a diet. And I used to laugh at her because I'm a big old fat man. And I'm thinking, you know, what, you going on a diet for 5 pounds? She said, yes. And she would go on a diet, and when she got down to 105, she went off her diet. I just went ahead and got fat. Now, what about you? How about your self-control, your fasting, you're dieting? No, you're a sinner. Why don't you admit that you're a sinner and you need a Savior? And if you have a Savior, you're okay. If you don't have a Savior, man, you are in trouble. Now, how many can there be? Well, it was read in Brando read one of the verses. The way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That sounds real good. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Those are fighting words. You're going to tell me that I'm better than you and I'm got to go to hell because I don't trust Jesus? Yes, that's what I'm going to tell you. You're going to have a lot of people give you advice. In fact, probably everybody in this room is capable of giving advice. In fact, I think probably everybody in this room gives a lot of advice to people who don't want it. You know something? The life was manifested. We've seen and heard it, and we're declaring it to you. And we're doing it that your joy may be full. Is your joy full? If you'd fill it up with Jesus Christ and the promises of the Word of God? I took one Bible one year. I bought a brand new Bible, bigger print, easy reading. And I had a green marker instead of a red or pen. And every verse in the Bible that as I was reading through was a promise of joy or a promise of answer to prayer or a promise of victory somehow, I put out in green. And I read through the Bible that year easily and marked it in green. And every time I looked, I put that Bible in my back bathroom. And every time I went into the bathroom, I would read the Bible. I just read green. Just read green. Promise after promise after promise after promise after promise after promise. You know what? When I walked out, I had a better mood. I had a better attitude. Now, I don't know what happened to that Bible. It disappeared somewhere. I'm not sure what happened to it. But I did that for the blessing that it would give me. Now, verse 4 of John chapter 1. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message that we have heard of him declare unto you. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The promises in this book don't let anybody take from you. I'm not worried about what somebody thinks. Every one of us think different. All of us think we're smarter than all the other people around us. You think you're smarter than everybody in your family, and everybody else in your family thinks they're smarter than you. It's the truth. It's like everybody in the world, there's 9 billion of us supposedly. Every one of those 9 billion, the whole world operates around them. You catch on to that maybe one of these days. But it's true. The whole world operates around me. How it affects me, how I like it, how I dislike it. You can get my opinion on a lot of things. So can you. You give a lot of opinions, don't you? You know what? We write these things that your joy might be full. Now in verse 7 he says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. What cleanses you from your sin? The blood of Jesus Christ. Not your good works. Not your preaching the gospel. Not your giving so much of your income to the poor people around you. Not that you're mowing the neighbor's lawn. The blood of Jesus Christ. That's grace. And everyone in this room, I don't care what you believe, everyone in this room that's saved, you're saved by grace. It's not you. It is not your righteousness. It is not your dedication. It is not your devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not all the works that you've done. And some of you are pretty good people. It's grace. You don't deserve it. And one of the things that will turn you into a better person is recognizing you're saved by grace. How much you depend upon grace. That's God's favor to you that you do not deserve. But He in His love has provided a way that you could be saved and forgiven and have fellowship with God and head for eternity in heaven. He said in verse 9 of 1 John 1, if we confess our sins. Now He is faithful. I'm not sure you're faithful. He is faithful. And He's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. And the truth is not in us. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the propitiation for our sins and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. This Bible contains the eyewitness testimony of these men. And the history that we can read from them is they all went down to their graves testifying Jesus Christ was resurrected from the grave. And that He was the only Savior and the only way, Brando. You're right. The only name, only one name, only one way is Jesus Christ. Without eyewitness testimony, you ought to be careful of it. You're going to have a lot of people that have a lot of opinions. Good men are going to have some bad opinions. But you don't need to worry about them if you will take and understand your Bible and know it well enough that you know when they say what it doesn't say in the Bible. That's your key. If the Bible says something and somebody doesn't believe that, and they want to change it. I wonder, just a thought here. How many of you have ever studied another language for a year or two? Do you speak well in it now? No. I preached pretty good in Spanish for a good while. I'm sorry, I can't do much. I was studying Quiche. They have Mam Indians in Guatemala. They wonder, it's all, Guatemala's got 28, 29 different tribes of Indians. I don't know what I was doing, how I was with my family in downtown San Antonio when the Spurs game got over and the people were coming out. Here was a, Quiche Indian from Guatemala dressed in all of her finery. Now, I was studying Quiche, but I'm up here in San Antonio, and she's up here in San Antonio. And as she comes out, I recognized, because each tribe has their own way of doing their embroidery, expensive stuff. And I said, Hacha Utwatsla. And she looked at me. She wasn't thinking she was going to get that in San Antonio, Texas. I said, how is your face today? You know what? That's the way you said hello in Quiche. Hata Utwatsla. How is your face today? Now, the rest of it I preached in Spanish, you understand. You don't remember that much. Well, when somebody starts quoting Greek on you, think about it. Not everybody that ever took a Greek class is a Greek scholar. Don't let anybody take away from you what your Bible says. I'm not so worried about what you think it means. Because we got a bunch of people thinking all sorts of different things. What I get the problem is, what does it say? And don't have to add a word to it or add another word to it or explain it away. What does the book say? And if it doesn't say that, I won't accept it. How about you doing that and then somebody can't fool you? Do you know what it says? It says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know what it says? It says that he's an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I've got my lawyer. And he's the best lawyer ever was or ever will be. And he pleads my court, my case in the courts of heaven. And I'm thankful. And my joy is full because of what this book says. We don't allow a lot of people do, allow somebody to change the book that we have by their opinion. I want to know what it says. This book is fine. Now, many of the other translations, they're good too. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to fight you on them. I like this one better. But you know what? Those verses that are in some of these other versions, they're just as true too. You don't mess everything up. It might be one, two, three, four places, something like that, that's been bothering them. And preachers get all, I've been out of shape about stuff like that. Like I said, it's sort of hard to mess up John 3:16. For God so loved the world, if you had that verse. God so loved the world. I'm telling you, if you're here today and you're not saved, God so loved you. He loved you enough to die on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood, go into the grave 3 days and three nights, and come out of that grave victorious. And these guys went down to the end of their lives keeping the same statement, the same testimony. He arose from the grave. He was victorious. Wow. Are you saved here today? How many are saved? Say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. If you couldn't say that, you can. If you'll just take Christ as your Savior, you gotta, it's believing. It's faith. Faith in a God that has such grace that he can save you by grace. He's not saving you because you're so good. He knows you're bad. You may not be as bad as everybody else. You might be the best one in the room. You're still a sinner. You need a Savior. And what we have is a Savior that is able to do exceeding abundantly above everything we could possibly ask. It's a beautiful gospel. It's worth preaching. It's worth hanging on to. And you're the interpreter of this. Your Bible, you're going to get what you get out of it. You're going to get what you read. What you spend a little time in it. Why don't you spend a little time in the book? Why don't you memorize some chapters? Oh yeah. That's better than television. Oh, maybe not.
Amen. It is better.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Good for you. Call upon Jesus Christ. God wants you to call. Have you noticed one of the biggest doctrines in this Bible is God is interested in you calling him. You know what he said he'll do? He'll answer you. He'll show you. If you confess your sins to him and trust in Jesus Christ, wow, he'll wipe you clean. Clean of all sin. He'll promise to come get you when you die and take you to be with him.
Amen.
I would have loved to have had Verlene to have stayed with me. I figured she would. I figured she'd outlive me by 20 years. But she wouldn't come back now for anything. And I wouldn't want her to. She's skipping down the streets. She's got no pain anymore. She doesn't have any sorrow, any sadness. Man, all the tears are gone. All the burdens are gone. She's in the presence of the Lord. Hey, that's a beautiful place to be. You can do it. I know maybe somebody that's listening to me is not saved. The best day of my life was the first day of September 1957 in Roswell, New Mexico. And God saved young, wild Lyndall Kincaid. What a day. My life was changed. My friends told me I'd get over it in a couple of weeks. I'm not over it yet. I've been preaching this book 64 years. I'm thankful for the book. You stand up for the Word of God. You stand up for what you believe. And don't worry about the rest of the world. You just keep preaching it. Let's pray. Lord, if there's somebody lost listening to the sound of my voice, Lord, we pray for them that they will call upon you and ask for forgiveness of sins and take Christ as their Savior. We pray for every born-again believer that's discouraged and downhearted today. We pray, God, that you will lift their spirits. We pray, Father, that you'll watch over this country. We are in dire straits. We have not listened to your words. Our country has passed laws that go against your teachings. We thank you, Lord, for all that we have, and we ask you to have mercy upon this country. Bring about a revival. Bring about a national revival. God, move in our midst. Give us deliverance from this virus and other things that are coming, this plague. God, have mercy upon us because of your great love. And I ask you in Jesus' name, we want to praise you. Amen.